Between them, Lillian Hellman and Mary McCarthy wrote scores of books, including essays, memoirs, novels, and plays. They shared friends, enemies, even a lover. But they feuded for 40 years, though they'd only been in the same room once or twice in their lives. The rivalry has always fascinated screenwriter-director Nora Ephron, who wrote her first stage play, putting the two women in the same room, perhaps for eternity. From member station KPBS in San Diego, Pat Lawner reports.
Some consider them to be two of the most influential female writers of the last century. And it's not surprising that Nora Ephron, who's often written about powerful women, would be intrigued by the lives of Mary McCarthy and Lillian Hellman.
More than intrigued in that I read both of them and thought they were both great, fascinating writers and compelling people, mysterious people. I wonder about them, people. They've always taken up a little bit of space in my head.
Hellman and McCarthy were similar in some ways. They were both successful writers in mid-20th century New York, and both won acclaim for controversial works early in their careers. Yet, they were polar opposites. One came from a wealthy Jewish family. The other was a Catholic orphan, raised in a Dickensian home and abused by an uncle. One was homely, the other beautiful. And throughout their lives, they were staunch political adversaries. But the crux of their conflict concerned literary honesty and poetic license.
Well, they hated each other.
Jack O'Brien, artistic director of the Globe Theaters in San Diego, directs Nora Ephron's first play, Imaginary Friends.
Lillian Hellman says of Mary McCarthy, "You wrote fact and called it fiction." And Mary McCarthy answers, "And you wrote fiction and called it fact." And one is in love with truth, and one is in love with imagination.
Ephron, best known for blockbuster movies such as Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally, and You've Got Mail, felt compelled to write the story of McCarthy and Hellman, but she just couldn't see it as a movie.
Someone said to me, well, could it be a play? And I said, well, I don't see how it could be a play. They were almost never together. And then I thought, but now they are, because they're both dead. So that was just the moment I thought, oh, I know what this play is. It's the conversation they never had.
In Imaginary Friends, that conversation is brought to life by Tony Award-winning actors Cherry Jones as Mary McCarthy and Swoosie Kurtz as Lillian Hellman.
Whole years passed when I didn't think of you at all. Whole years passed when you didn't take a pop at me. And then you'd take another pop at me. You took a pop at me in People magazine.
I was trying to sell a book.
Unsuccessfully, as I recall. The interviewer asked her, what do you have against Lillian Hellman? Implicitly saying, why does she bother you so much? Why keep attacking her? Why did you?
Because you were such a fraud.
Nonsense. I was just an easy way for you to prove that you were the person you were selling yourself as. You used me to show off your sharp little tongue. To prove that you hadn't lost your edge. It was lucky for you that I stayed as famous as I did, or you'd have to have found someone else to attack.
In Imaginary Friends, Ephron is experimenting with dramatic form and convention. Set in some unnamed place, probably hell, the new work is being called A Play with Music, composed and here performed by Marvin Hamlisch and lyricist Craig Carnelia.
Smart women don't always agree with other smart women. They battle with one another, honing their lines, ignoring the signs ahead, filling with rage, feeling their age, knowing a little bit less than a smart woman should know.
Director Jack O'Brien wants to be clear that this is not a musical.
The music, if anything, is an interesting commentary, a sort of witty aside on what's going on between these two women. But does it advance the plot? No, I don't think so.
The important characters hardly sing in the show.
Composer Marvin Hamlisch, best known for A Chorus Line and most recently Sweet Smell of Success, is no stranger to atypical musical theater.
In this show, it's other people that sing and talk about the characters. The music is saying, and now I'm going to fill you in on what's really going on. You're watching what's happening in the real world. Now, let me tell you what certain people are feeling or what we all think about this.
The songs comment on their childhood, their loves and losses, and the ultimate collision between Hellman and McCarthy. After years of barbs and taunts, the climax came in 1980. In the middle of all the play's fantasy, Efron revisits the unforgettable moment when, at age 68, Mary McCarthy appeared on The Dick Cavett Show and hurled one of the most famous insults in literary history.
Who are some authors you think are overrated and we could do without?
The only one I can think of is a holdover, like Lillian Hellman, who I think is tremendously overrated. They're a bad writer and dishonest writer.
What's dishonest about her?
Everything. I said once in some interview that every word she writes is a lie, including and thee.
Hellman, age 75, promptly sued McCarthy for $2.25 million. Though she died before the suit came to court, many believe that Hellman did, in fact, fabricate some episodes in her memoirs. The result was that the two literary rivals were forever linked, an irony not lost on Nora Ephron.
All the writing they'd done, all the men they had loved, all the friends they had had, all of it kind of wiped away by this strange twinship that happened as a result of this episode. Now, the truth is, I don't for a second think that the fight will make them more famous than their work. But I think that all writers ask the question, what will I be remembered for? And people, everyone, you don't have to be a writer to ask that question. What am I leaving behind? What was it all about?
Variety theater critic Joel Hirshhorn thinks the play works because it's ultimately about more than Lillian Hellman and Mary McCarthy.
I think that it is a study really in competition and jealousy and all and envy. And these are the, I don't even call them attributes, but characteristics that people understand. You don't have to know about the particular characters to understand jealousy and competition.
Efron feels that the heart of the McCarthy-Hellman discord and of her play is the women's view of fact versus fiction, and that's what she'd like the audience to think about.
Are all stories lies? Is there any such thing as the truth? Obviously, there are facts. Someone was born at such and such a time. Someone died at such and such a time. But in between, is everything just who's telling the story?
Imaginary Friends continues at the Old Globe Theater in San Diego through November 3rd. It opens on Broadway in December. For National Public Radio, I'm Pat Lawner.